morning. It is 10 o'clock on September 3rd, 2019, and I hereby call to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors and would invite you, if you would like to join us as we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. I would entertain a motion for adopting the agenda.
I so move.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Kevins?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda's approved. Next, we have public comment number one, and this comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. So if anybody has any comments they would like to make, please come to the microphone. Okay. Seeing nobody, move to the microphone. I'll close public comment. Next, we have consideration of proclamation of September as National Recovery Month by Community and Family Resources. Hi, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, good morning. My name is Todd Anderson. I am Hamilton County CFR. I am a prevention specialist, also project director for mental health awareness training, providing mental health first aid training. I'm here just out of recognition for September being National Recovery Month. Community and Family Resources, we're a nonprofit behavioral health. Also, we address prevention, treatment, diagnosis of mental illness, as well as addiction, including gambling and tobacco. And in recognition of that, we are just looking for Story County support for National Recovery Month in 2019. We do have a proclamation. Beforehand, I would like to also promote, I'm just going to get a few plugs in here, some of the annual Recovery Wellness Family Fun Festival that we have in Fort Dodge. We are at our new location at 211 Avenue M. And also, that is on September 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. That is our Fort Dodge location. We also have a Recovery Wellness 5K Run and Walk, actually this Saturday, September 7th, at Ada Hayden Park in Ames, Iowa as well. And I will be flyers to both of them. So however you'd like to proceed with the proclamation and reading it or just signing it, I'll leave it up to you.
We usually read proclamations,
okay,
so I'll go ahead and read it.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. And thank you very much for all of the information and for the things you believe in.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. So, Recovery Month Proclamation. Whereas behavioral health is an essential part of health and one's overall wellness, and whereas prevention of mental and or substance abuse disorders works, treatment is effective, and recovery is vital to the well-being of the individual and the community, and whereas proactively acknowledging and treating mental and or substance abuse disorders is essential to achieving healthy lifestyles, both physically and emotionally, and whereas we must encourage relatives and friends of people with mental and or substance abuse disorders to implement preventive measures, recognize the signs of a problem, and guide those in need of appropriate treatment and recovery support services. And whereas, given the serious nature of this public health problem, we must strive to offer all persons the same opportunities for treatment and recovery and wellness. And whereas approximately 100,000 Iowans currently receive treatment for mental illness or substance abuse addiction. Whereas in 2017, an estimated 20.7 million people aged 12 and older needed substance abuse treatment, but just 4 million received treatment. And whereas to help more people achieve and sustain long-term recovery, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the White House Office of Drug Control Policy, and the Story County Board of Supervisors invite all residents of Story County to participate in National Recovery Month. And Story County, by virtue of the authority vested in us by the laws of Story County, does hereby proclaim the month of September 2019 as National Recovery Month. And call upon the people of Story County to observe this month with appropriate programs, activities, and ceremonies to support this year's Recovery Month. In witness thereof, we set our hands this third day of September in the year 2019. I would call for a motion.
I move adoption of the Recovery Month proclamation.
I second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I usually take an opportunity to express gratitude for the many people who helped me 23 and now a half years ago. That's how long I've been sober. So thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
If you would leave me an email address, we'll send you a copy of the signed proclamation.
Not a problem at all. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Todd. Have a good day.
Okay. Next, we will go on to continuation of discussion and consideration of additional funding to HRDA for restoration, revision, maintenance of services in Story County impacted by FY20 budget cuts. We have Julia Castillo. Julia, are you on the line?
She just stepped away for a second. She thought she'd be back before it was our turn.
Okay, we can hold on just a minute. I'll go through a couple other things on the agenda, and you tell me when she's back. Okay?
Okay.
We have no agency reports. We do not have minutes to consider today. We'll have them next month. Consideration of personnel actions. We have no personnel actions for today. Consideration of claims.
I would move that we approve them as presented.
I second that.
Okay, any discussion? Hearing none. Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Claims are approved. Let's go on to the consent agenda. Are there any items to be pulled? If not, I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
I approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Consent agenda is approved. So we're down to public hearing items, so we might just take a wait on that. Well, let's see. Is Julie back yet? Let's do public hearing.
I'm sorry, she's not. We can start if you'd like.
We'll go on to the next item. It's okay. So Amelia Schoenemann.
Okay, so this is the third consideration of Ordinance 285 for stormwater and erosion control. You've had two public hearings where you approved the ordinance prior to this one, so we thank you for your support and would recommend final approval on third consideration of Ordinance 285 today.
Okay, are there any questions from board members? Any discussion? Okay, then I will open the public hearing. So if any members of the public want to comment, please come to the microphone. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and I will entertain a motion.
I would move the third reading of Ordinance Number 285, amending Chapter 85.08, Definitions, and Chapter 88.05, Environmental and Natural Resource Standards for Stormwater Management and Erosion and Sediment Control of the Story County Land Development Regulations, Story County Code of Ordinances.
I second
the motion. That motion was almost as long as the resolution.
I know it. It was hard to read with the dilated eyes, but we got
it. You did well. Okay. There's been a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin, aye. Thank you to Planning and Development for all of your long, hard work on this. And particular thanks from our Watershed Assessment Working Group, because this has been one goal that we've had there. So, done a very good job.
Thanks for your support.
You bet. Okay, let's go back to the HRDA. Are we ready now?
This is Julia. I'm here now.
Hi, Julia.
Sorry.
That's okay. We are then back up to item number 6, continuation of discussion and consideration of additional funding to HRDA. Julia Garcia, would you like to make a presentation, an update maybe from what we talked about the last time?
So the update would be is we had a conversation with the asset admin team. We, Cork and I both attended a meeting that they had and answered all of their questions. I believe that they gave feedback to the county board of supervisors. Is that right?
Yes, we received an email from Carla Webb.
Okay. And so in the discussions that we had with them, not a lot had changed from the presentation that we gave the last time in saying that we believe that's a marketing and outreach position that would be funded as a part-time position would give us the most bang for our buck and be able to help us in the Story County area to accomplish some of the other things that were on this list without having the high cost of some of the other things that are presented there.
Okay. And as a reminder, we did fund on July 30th the $3,690 for this year. Aging Resources of Central Iowa reduction.
And the update I have on that is we are going out to all of our other counties and asking them to do the same as Story County has done to fill in that gap. So, and we made a presentation to Marion County last week regarding that. And so we have to go back and do another second presentation with them. But I just wanted you to know that we are trying to get all of our other counties to buy into that aging resource part to fill that gap as well so that Story County is not the only one.
Okay. So I have another question, if I might, and then I'll turn it over to the others. Are you asking other counties for anything else besides the aging resources backfill?
We started asking the other counties for any of the bus replacement money that you that Story County gave earlier in the year for the buses that we're replacing in Story County. We're going out to the other counties and asking them for that.
Julia, you might make note that for two of the counties, it was not a financial ask, but that the board recently voted to do away with some Sunday services. So in that particular case, those two counties were on board with doing away with some Sunday transportation that was offered out there. So rather than ask for more money, those two counties backed the board waiving some
trips.
What counties
were those?
Jasper.
That would have been Marion County and Jasper County.
Thank you.
And we are also starting to look at requesting some funding from some of the cities. Right now we receive funding from the City of Ames and the City of Newton, which are the only two cities that we receive funding for. And so Bill and I have been trying to make a plan, put a plan together on how we can get the cities to do some buy-in to public transportation that's offered in those communities as well.
Lisa, you have a question?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. I'm sorry, I didn't print off Carla's email, and I don't have it right on here. But the marketing and outreach specialist, was that a position that you had and was reduced due to the budget cuts recently for this fiscal year, this current fiscal year that you're in?
We had a mobility coordinator who did a lot of our marketing and outreach. It's just a different name for them. And yes, it was a funded position, and that funding went away, and so we weren't able to
absorb those expenses into our budget because of the revenue shortfalls that we experienced the last fiscal year.
So how is that one funded? Because I was looking at your funding through asset. So it just says transportation, you know, through the county, the region, the city, and stuff. So was that funded through asset or was it other funding?
It was funded through a grant with the Iowa DOT. It was actually federal dollars that came through the Iowa DOT.
That's right.
And then,
okay.
When did that money go away?
The last of the funding we received in July of 2018, and so because we didn't have the funding to continue that position, her last day was in August of 2018.
Okay.
August
of 2018, she said, was her last.
So that was our fiscal year 19. Year, which so it went away our fiscal 19 year,
so we didn't have that position at all last fiscal year.
Okay, so did you request through ASSET for a newer expanded service at all for this fiscal year?
We didn't because the budget, when Julie does those budgets, is 2 years out, so we weren't aware necessarily at the time that she did those ASSET budgets. And I did, our accountant and I attended, we attended the ASSET training, and that's one of the things that we kind of inquired about, and we'll look at doing in future years, is maybe breaking out more of those types of programs within the ASSET application.
Sure. I guess I was just wondering, since you said you lost her, the funding, in August of 2018, but I know new and expanded services requests were due by May 24th of 2019. So you would have had 9 months to at least write that for this next fiscal year that you'd be writing for this fiscal year. So that's what I'm just trying to wrap my head around a little bit.
Yeah, and I apologize. I think some of that's a terminology issue for us. We weren't aware that a position like that could be considered a service. We were looking at services more like the service to Iowa City or service to Des Moines or service levels with, you know, where the bus is moving. We didn't realize that that was something we could break out separately.
That, and I'd like to throw in here just a minute, I'm looking out at Carla Webb also, is that because we fund HRDA very differently through the ASSET process, we're charging down as per rider, right? We're funding rides. And so always the discussions at the HRDA board table are related to services as Brooke just described them, like addition of a new route or addition of another trip per week. And that's one thing that the HRDA board has got to look at in all the counties, even though the other counties except Dallas just give a lump sum. We're the only one who does for a ride per se. But we've got to start factoring in how these type of what you would call administrative type, you know, non-service direct, like a body getting on a bus and going somewhere. How do we charge for those and allocate those costs appropriately through all the counties? ASSET, I feel, just adds another layer to it about that. But so we've always looked at those as a separate kind of set off aside. But I think that the entire HRDA board needs to take a look, and some of these are necessary costs that just haven't been probably passed on appropriately. Certainly not maybe through the ASSET process.
Yeah, I guess I was just trying to figure out if this was just a story time before and it ended in August. Again, why the application was not submitted for me. So I get it. So that answers my one question there. So that is the main thing you're looking at is for this finishing up this fiscal year is funding for that marketing and outreach, reinstating that position, or at least in a part-time capacity. Is that correct?
Correct.
And was it just for Story County before?
No. We used the mobility coordinator across our region. But what we're looking at doing with this marketing position, having it only be part-time, having it be specifically for Story County, and then the goal would be to have this position do some training and education, not only with individual community members, for example, with donations for the Aging Resources ride, but also we've had turnover with businesses, and as that has happened, you know, there was a tremendous effort of education and working through the task force that Story County helped us do back in 2013. And, you know, there's been turnover of staff, and we've lost some of that educational component. We'd like to reinstate that.
So how do we ensure reporting rights that the dollars allocated, that this would only be Story County only, then and not going towards other counties. I'm assuming that's going to be part of your at your board meetings, and can we have them come back and report to us, and we have them do monthly or quarterly reports, or what has usually been done in the past?
Usually it's been an annual, but they can come more often because, yeah, so.
Yeah, okay, I just wasn't sure. Thank you.
And because this would be, we call it a marketing and outreach position so that it could be understood what they would actually be doing. But as a mobility coordinator position, we have we developed some standards that they have to meet, and they have goals that they have that position has to focus on. And so there's like monthly reports that we use to have them fill out, that position fill out, and we would continue to have them do that. So it would specifically show where they're going and who they're talking to and what the outreach is that they're doing. So you would be able to see that that was actually just in the Story County area.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
I have no questions for her. I just have a couple of questions for the asset process moving forward. So, Carla, this year, the fiscal year 19 that just ended, HRDA went through its asset money by April. Okay, had used up all the rides. All right. So, if HRDA had had more money but was still having to draw down per ride, would that have been appropriate for us to have funded through the asset process, or would it be more appropriate for us to fund a service position and leave the rides somewhere near the same? I'm asking you guys for ongoing.
You're talking about this outreach marketing.
Correct. Right.
I think typically what agencies do, they're building that into their service costs, so it's built into the overall budget rather than funded as a particular service itself.
So given that we're looking at this as a one-time amount here, us kind of jump-starting this, but that the expectation would be that the HRDA board would take over this from other revenues in fiscal year 21, whether it be through revenue saving, about a realignment of services all over. There were also at the same special meeting we had where we reduced Sunday service to those couple of counties. We cut down on bus driver preparation time. That worked out to be quite a significant savings when you looked over the year, like, what, $60,000 or something like that. So given that we would not pick it up, do you think it would still be appropriate? Let's say they didn't add it in as an admin cost, which then we would pay, but instead would just increase the number of rides to cover for that last quarter. Is that something that you feel would be the admin team would recommend to the admin volunteer or to the asset volunteers?
So,
say the rates stay the same. We didn't add in this person going forward because we're kind of talking about this being a one time and then the HRDA board needing to deal with it in the future. All right. But it was clear that we didn't give enough money to through asset anyway. So is that something that you would could anticipate being a possibility?
So HRDA could ask for more funding from the county or from the city or United Way with their FY21 budget, projecting what is that shortfall that they're coming up against, and make that request within their FY21 budget. Now, it will depend on how much is there for dollars to be allocated, because as we've seen in past years, when agencies have had a significant the increase in their ask. We haven't necessarily been able to meet that. Mm-hmm. So I can't project for sure if we'd be able to do it or not, but that's how I would envision it.
If we don't ask, you don't know what the need is.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions? Carla, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No,
not at
this time. I was just going to bring up what Lauren said.
Okay. So, yes, Herta could ask for more money for additional rides, but obviously it's part of the asset process and you can't guarantee what's going to happen.
Correct.
Okay, makes sense. What's the pleasure of the board? Would you like to have some discussion first or motion?
You know, I just see some benefit to having that marketing and outreach. I would certainly want to ensure, just because they are a multi-county, that it is Story County focused. And I get that. I work with agencies that are multi-county, and you know how you separate that out in your reporting. I guess my separate comment or encouragement is hoping that Herta is looking to increase their ask for this next fiscal year. Again, you don't know what the need is unless you ask for it. So it just helps for a little bit better than the possible. So that would be one thing that we are looking at, the new type of potential funding. I want to make sure that we. I certainly give some of that information. The question is, do we want to fund it at this time? And if so, do we look at a part-time or funding it at the say to part-time college student at $10,000 or the marketing college open at $1,000? Or do we not do it?
So is it two positions that you're looking at, one for $20,000 and one for $10,920? Julia?
Yes. So one of them would be probably a college student that would be doing it on a very part-time basis. The other one would be somebody that has some experience in going out and giving presentations and working with the community. So that's the difference in the two part-time salary.
So it's a one or the other possibility. Having now sat on the board for 2.5 years, having worked and with the mobility coordinator, I actually did work with her because we had, it came up in 2018, and we went to several different communities to try and give people an opportunity to learn more about Herta. Always, of course, doing outreach is in advance is. You learn from that, so I don't think it was as well attended as it could have been. But what I saw there was the mobility coordinator or outreach person, if you will, having the time to understand where people were hesitant to maybe switch over to the appropriate waiver program off of the general ride, or for to match, understand what the needs were for possibly several riders at one time, every other week, or that type of thing. So I believe that having a part-time person, if they can find a part-time person, because we know with the employment situation in Central Iowa right now, some people don't want to work part-time. But I personally feel that going with the marketing and outreach person part-time for $20,000 is going to yield the best results, which allows then in the future for Herta and the Herta board to then take a look at do they want to have this person just maintain what they've accomplished in Story County and look at out with the Herta board funding it in the future to do the same with other counties.
So I think in our last, time when they came up and presented a couple weeks ago, I felt they did a good job of explaining about what has been lost and what could be achieved just in getting more revenues in, getting people assigned to the right revenue streams.
I have a question. I have a concern, something I'm just not sure about here. And I'm looking at Carla's email and specifically what she had written after talking with you about the mobility coordinator. It said that you would have the mobility coordinator working with people to get on the right funding stream, educating people about donations, best time to ride. Have 20 to 50 new riders each month. Have identified 73 Ames residents who may qualify for Dial-A-Ride. Are finding people are riding using regular fare instead of going through MCO. Now, I'm not an expert on business. I've not been on your board before, but it sounds like the people you're trying to educate are already riding on your buses. I'm wondering if there isn't a more efficient way to get the information out to them, and maybe you already have it, but let me just say, a pamphlet that's very clear, concise, said, did you consider this? Call this number if you need help. Might be a better use of time than going out to try to find these people who already are on your buses. I'm just wondering if it isn't a lack of clear, concise information given to the people who are already riding about what might be a better way for them to ride and access services.
So, yes, several people are riding our bus, and that was part of a conversation with the asset admin team. So, as an example, there was a gentleman who was riding three times a week to dialysis. Excuse me. And he was riding under the aging resources donation basis. And then we found out that he had done this for years, never made a donation, and he actually qualified for the elderly waiver for Medicaid. So we know that people a lot of times will take the course with least resistance, and that's, you know, whether he wasn't educated about the elderly waiver itself, we don't know. We don't know exactly how that happened, but we have, like the 70 folks there in Ames who should be on the Dial-A-Ride program, mm-hmm. Some of those are living in assisted living, or they may be living in a nursing home. And so we need to network more with and educate more of the staff that work with them. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about a little earlier with, you know, we did a considerable amount of work through the task force that Story County and the City of Ames and United Way helped to fund a few years ago. But there's been some staff turnover, and we've lost some of the education components. We're also working to do more education even within our own office to help identify some things more. I won't pretend to be a specialist on the elderly waiver, but we do have someone coming in on the 17th to train our call center, if you will, staff to answer the phone so that they can better identify and help connect people with resources. But we still have facilities as well as people in the community that, you know, we need to work with to get them on the appropriate funding sources and educate them why that is.
So I think what I just heard was just handing out a pamphlet on the bus to your existing riders isn't enough, because sometimes you need to get to the service providers or the case managers or those riders.
Correct.
Is that a fair enough statement, just short, succinct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think, too, just adding to what she's probably saying is the quote-unquote system is so confusing, mm-hmm. to know which waiver you should be on or not on, or what's allowed or not allowed. You almost need your own PhD to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm. Don't doubt it. Okay, any further questions or discussion? Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion?
Well, I'll make the motion to the $20,000 for the marketing and outreach position to be a one-time funding. But I would like them to come back with reports. I prefer it to be quarterly at this particular time.
I second that.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion? Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. So we would like you to come back quarterly and give us a report on how the on what you're doing with the mobility coordinator position, how you're dealing with these issues. And I particularly think we'd want to see how you're identifying savings and how that would then fit into whether you would be considering continuing that into the next year.
And just to clarify, identifying savings throughout HRDA, as opposed to this is more set up to not do savings as to redirect to bring in more revenue income. So I'm asking for the clarity. You say like to see how you're identifying savings. This particular, the point of this particular position is to bring in more revenue and to redirect, because waivers pay much more than like donations.
Good point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yes, we would be able to do that on a quarterly basis. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Anything else before I hang up? Okay. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, Brooke.
Thanks, Carla.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Okay, we will head on now. We are down to item 13, additional items. And we have Leanne Harder, and we also have
David Whitaker.
David Whitaker. Okay.
If you guys want to sit until Leanne's done.
Yeah, let's have Leanne do a presentation.
Yeah. Okay. Rather than hold up the wall.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a brief presentation, and I just want to share some background information about the facade grant program. This is a request that's outside the scope of the normal request that you see, so I just want to go over the history and then where we are thus far. The program guidelines, the facade grant program is intended to provide financial assistance to city governments. The city government is actually the applicant to help encourage reinvestment in private businesses, so it's a private-public partnership. We envision that it would help business districts in the smaller communities, stimulating private investment to improve the facades of the buildings. Eligibility, again, the city serves as the applicant working with eligible properties. Those are communities with 2,000 persons or less, according to the 2010 census. It is a one-time reimbursement grant of either up to 20% of the total project cost or not more than $10,000. That $10,000 is kind of a magical number, placeholder for the board's consideration. That is what annually is budgeted or placed in the budget of the Board of Supervisors for this program. The expectation then as part of this, too, is that the city provides matching funds equal to or greater than that approved by the county. And won't belabor this, but definitely we want to see the improvements that are from the right-of-way. Signage, but not including billboards, lighting, landscaping, and then cosmetic or structural improvements are all acceptable uses of the funding. Now I'm going to get to this particular request, and I'll turn it over to the applicant as well. The address is 101 South U.S. Highway 69 in Huxley. The owners are Whitaker Properties, LLC. This is a general, so this is the existing building. General location, you can see, if you look on the image, it's surrounded in orange. The Casey's on Highway 69 in Huxley is Kitty Corner to the northeast of the site. The trail, you can see that roughly. Now, yeah, that's the trail coming in, isn't it? Yes. On the south perimeter of the property. So just some history. The program was established in calendar year 2014. When we first envisioned the program and brought to the board for approval, it was a competitive grant program. We had a deadline. I think it was March 30th or something of that particular year. We received two applications. And so then in fiscal year 2015, the city of Zeering was the recipient of that grant. You see progressively we've had more each year. In 2017, calendar year 2017, we removed that competitive nature of the grant, and it's basically first come, first served. Again, targeting those communities under 2,000. In fiscal year 2018, the Board of Supervisors at that time considered a request from the city of Story City, which does exceed the population threshold, for some improvements. That was approved in the amount of $1,700. Subsequently to that, Story City decided not to go forward with the project. So that was removed. But in total, removing that amount, since the program was first established, the board has awarded a little over $41,000 in our communities. So the action that is requested of the board today is kind of twofold. One is to waive the population threshold of 2,000 persons to allow this request to go forward and be considered by the board. Huxley, it does exceed that population cap. And then in the materials that were submitted to the board, there was a cover letter that noted the city of Huxley had not yet taken action on the application, pending action by the Board of Supervisors. If you were to decide today to waive that population threshold and, in essence, approve this application, we would also need the city to formally take action. That is a requirement. It's kind of a chicken and egg, but the program guidelines are very clear that we need the city action to determine the matching amount. So with that, I'll answer any questions and then turn it over to the applicant.
What was the request for Story City that year? Do you remember?
The printing.
PDG printing.
So PDG, right?
Yeah, PDG. Yeah.
So it was for a facade, you know, for them, just they're a two-story building, and if I might speak to that as one of the supervisors who voted for that, how that came about was that we were in the spring of the fiscal year, so we were nearing the end, and had not all of the money had been used. And so the city and the applicant came forward. Mark Jackson represented the city, and the applicant came forward. They talked about wanting to do this facade. And these build was right on Main Street. It was a building that another building that it had some, as I seem to recall, some facade improvements that were done. Yeah, it was on Broadway. Yeah, so. Yeah. So anyway, so that after our discussion, given the fact that it was close to the end of the fiscal year, and given the fact that we were not aware of any other communities under 2,000 who would be coming forward with an ask, and that this was going to complete a, if you will, Main Street kind of facade rather than a standalone, those I think were all factors that we went into. And we did vote for it, as we said, then they decided not to go through the project. So if I can now jump here to give a little context about how this request is in front of us. David Whitaker contacted me, would have been in, I believe, March, and asked me about it. And once again, that would have been into the last quarter of a fiscal year, of our fiscal year. And I indicated at that time we did not, I believe, have all the money spoken for. We did not discuss the specifics of the project. I just said that a previous board had voted for one going forward and said, well, you could think about asking. And Leah, did he speak with you at that time too?
Yeah, I think you called me, didn't you? Yeah.
So, but I never heard back from Mr. Whitaker, and now we're in a new fiscal year. So the issues, as I see them, having voted on applications before, are the first issue is, do we want to just tell Huxley and or maybe Story City or include Nevada too and say we're going to open this program up to them? I remember when this program was created, as Leanne said, at first it was competitive, but then there just weren't that many applications coming forward, and the thought, I believe, of a previous board was that these are very small communities. It's very rare for a business to want to come in and do work on Main Street to improve Main Street of a town of 500 or 1,000 people. And so if we can help with that, then that seems to be a good indicator that it will drive more economic activity. And so that's what has been the decision-making basis for the applications until 2018. Obviously, with the 2018 was, as I said, they came in and they made a pretty good argument for why this was going to improve the downtown area. And we were aware of no one else who was coming in to use it. This particular application now comes at the beginning of a fiscal year. And so we've got that factor plus the factor about, do we open up just on this one basis and create an exception, or do we add Huxley, Story City to it permanently? And then what do we do? You know, Nevada's another jump. So I see we've got several different steps here.
And kind of related to that, I did want to back up to this slide. I kind of breezed over it. So far this year for fiscal year 20, again, the board budgets $10,000 annually. You did award a grant to the city of Zeering for a little over half of that, $5,530.
You can see from fiscal year 17 that the $10,000 has been, as Leanne called it, placeholder. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's all the statement of previous board has. You know, we said, hey, if you know, cause somebody comes in and there's a little over, we'll find it. I think it's the same tack we've taken with the home-based program. You know, as far as it comes into getting veterans to move to the county, but the $10,000 is what we do budget and where we're in here. So the conversation between even in March and now is different because of the rollover of fiscal year.
Mr. Whitaker, did you want to address the board?
Sure.
Chris. Chris, do we need that little microphone over here?
Okay. I can talk loud, too, unless it's recorded. Well, good morning. David Whitaker, owner of Whitaker Properties, with my wife Ann here today. Thanks for seeing us. Thanks, Laura Solson, for submitting this onto the agenda. Originally, I talked with Rick Sanders, previous board member, that I was going to be buying a building in Huxley. He said, hey, we have a grant facade program for that. Told him we were going to spend about $50,000 to spice it up a little bit, make it look better for the community. He says that fits right into our what we invented this grant for. He also said that I should talk with Dustin at the community outreach gentleman at the City of Ames there. So I did that, reached out with him. I did reach out to Loris as well to see if we could ever make an exception to kind of get a feel for what board members might think at the time. We had bought the building back in March, April. The current owner, Salon 101, didn't want anybody saying that we bought the building yet, so we kind of had a hold there for just a bit. But the goal was to spend about 20, hopefully you all got to see the proposal I sent there. We're going to spend probably around $23,000 is the estimation based on the bids to improve the outside of the building, give it a little classier look. We also want to put a garage door on the outside of the building to improve community involvement. Old guys like to have coffee. And we would like to invite them to have coffee at our business every morning. And so a little bit of community involvement there, as well as we intend to hire a new person that's going to be there. So a little bit of job creation in the city of Huxley, not a whole lot, but we may bring on more. So a little bit of job creation would be the positive to it, community involvement by getting some of the folks in there to have coffee every day if that's part of this facade on the outside. And then as well as it's going to increase the tax basis a little. I talked to Dave at the assessor's office there and asked what would positives be for this, because Dustin recommended that I get positives before approaching you guys with a request to go outside of your normal requirements of 2,000 people. Side note, the city of Huxley is 3,000 people per the census. I don't know what Nevada is, and so is Story City. It was about 3,300, somewhere in there for population. So we're about 1,000 over that. That being said, talked with David again in the assessor's office, asked him what the ramifications for the county would be, of course, to collect taxes on this. He said if we take a basis of $208,000 where it's currently assessed, we purchase the building for $275,000, so we're taxes are most likely going to go up anyway. We have hopes to put about $50,000 in it. If we get a $300,000 valuation, if they value it at that, he said you could see your taxes going up, estimated around $2,500 a year. So my ask, if you were to approve the exception and to approve it, it's 20% for the county and 20% for the city of Huxley. So that would be about $4,700 each. $4,700 to you, the county, the board, and $4,700 to the city of Huxley. I did, so simple math, about a two-year return on investment, and then you're going to get more money out of me on taxes. That being said, I talked with John Haldeman, and I've met with the Economic Development Board for the city of Huxley first to ask them if they would approve it before I came to you guys. They want to see what you guys said first. So they are on board, John Haldeman. They don't have a specific program for this because this has not been in their wheelhouse. They did just create a program. This does not fit into their program. They stand to gain taxes as well. Just the school alone takes 50% of the taxes.
So, and I'm going to ask this question here, because is this property not TIF'd already? So there's no money coming to the county.
TIFT. I don't know what you
tax
mean by that.
Tax incremental financing. Huxley, in the past at least, has had quite a bit of its property put under what's called a tax incremental financing district. So you're paying taxes, but it's actually going into Huxley to pay off loans they've done for economic development. That's if it's TIFT. So
know
just
the
want
answer
to point
that.
Out to you that you may be paying, but that doesn't. To say it's coming to us or it will come to us in the future is not necessarily.
The way the back of the tax bill reads, that the county does get 13.24% on city levies, Story County Medical Center 2.44%, county assessor gets 1.22%. So our tax bill anyway, I couldn't tell you if it's TIFT or not, but it does say that you get a pro.
But if it is, that's a very good point, because the increment would not be coming to the county.
Right, so just, but it's a minor. The other thing I'd like to bring up when you, just to get this out in the open too, one of the slides up there, it talks about that these must be visible from the right of way. Is not your, if I looked at the pictures correctly, is not your garage door in the back? It faces a fence in the back.
No.
No.
The front on
Highway 69.
So the garage door, that's going to be that open, mm-hmm. glass
right
is actually facing 69.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you have two main ferro throughs there. The DOT numbers are 10,000 cars a day that drive by.
Okay.
So probably one of the most traveled roads in Huxley.
Yeah. Thank you for that one. Those were my two questions.
So the total dollar amount we have available here, $10,000, is that correct?
That's what we budget for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Has already been asked for. So we have about 9 months left for one of the communities under 2,000.
We don't have deadlines.
If we leave it the way it is.
So they can, no, these can come through any time of the year.
I get that. But
okay.
I was just trying to think about funding-wise. Not that it's not a worthy project. I just had that little bit of concern of
to some of the other communities, and I don't know yet. Are they working on a proposal
that they want to forward to us, and then
they would be able to capture the additional funds themselves in the
next fiscal year?
That's my only thing,
because
I don't know.
Well,
could I ask when this building was built?
2005.
So it's fairly new. It is. Okay. And these are facade approved. They're not because there's problems. They're just
nothing structural.
It is structural.
In a hopes to make the building look even more appealing to draw people to the business, draw people to Huxley, make it just stand out as a better looking building all around. And the big part of that was to add that garage door for coffee time with locals.
So,
if I look at that board right, I only see 2 years that you have $10,000 match has been made. In argument to the should we wait or should we not wait, totally understand it because we are outside the limits of asking for it because we are currently not a community that would be able to apply.
Right.
I'm curious how many years you've made that 10. I'm going to start buying materials into the next month. I've kind of been waiting for this process to happen. And the way the rules read, you cannot buy any materials to improve or purchase any of the improvements until the grant is accepted. We are going to move forward with the project irregardless. We'd sure like to involve the county and involve the city of Huxley. I think it'd be great for both of them. But if that be the case, now my timeline is truncated to where I can't wait until, say, the next week. Loris and I talked about that on the phone, that could I wait until the end of the fiscal year, and if nobody else applies, and then it would be applicable. We'd like to get in just as a side note.
So a couple other things, David. First of all, the 15 and 16, if you remember, Leanne said those were competitive grant programs. So other communities may have submitted, but the board didn't allocate a whole $10,000. It picked, okay? So you need to go to 2017 to take a look. And we've done pretty close, okay, so and on that. The other thing that you and I talked about a little bit on the phone is I talked about what we gave the money to Zering for this year. And, of course, that was a situation where we are helping Zering do facade remodeling because they are moving their EMS, their ambulance, to a downtown building, and they needed to put a garage door in so the ambulance could get in there. And there are actually some structural problems. And if you go and look at some of these other projects from previous years, and that carrying of Cambridge is just a typo. Okay, City of Cambridge, I'm sure is what she meant. Okay, but anyway, like Collins, it was to paint several downtown Main Street buildings that were in desperate need of paint. For Zering, it's a remodeling project and part of the facade, and we're talking about bricks falling off. So when you look not only at this program with the $2,000 cap to begin with, the thought was that this would help people come in and really make a difference. I know that the language isn't written that way. So I just wanted to point out to you that I did explain to you where previous money has gone, and I've been thinking about it. For me anyway, how do I tell a taxpayer that I went ahead in Huxley, which is a growing community with leaps and bounds with your housing, And then I gave $4,500 to remodel what is pretty much an okay-looking building now to for preference, where we could be 6 months from now and have someone who walks into Cambridge or walks into Slater and actually says, I will take a run-down building, and I want to help make it a going viable concern. And that's where I am then when you add in on that on top. I'm not open, really, when it comes down to it, I think, to really open the program to Huxley and to Story City at this point, other than at an end-of-the-year type of suggestion. That's what I said.
Let me add something to that, and I thank you for all your historical information on this. It's good background. Mr. Whittaker, you said that you had been encouraged by a previous supervisor. So, you know, I understand that, to come and say that's what this program is about. We may have different feelings about what the program is about. I tend to agree with Supervisor Olson. We're looking at small towns when I've sat through the presentations, there are people that are saying, you know, this building has potential, but we can't do anything without some additional monies. We're trying to get it to a point where we don't have a gaping holes in our main streets and trying to attract businesses to them. That's the kind of situation people normally come to us with. You're coming with rather a different situation. And I also kind of feel like these are not a lot of monies, and maybe we need to reserve them for the smaller communities where they really need that jump start to get, you know, to get a building in shape where they can continue its viability. You've got a building that has, you know, has viability right now. So I guess I'm not particularly, I appreciate you coming, and it is a good project, but I'm not particularly willing to say, yeah, I think it should be awarded out of these funds, and to make an exception for that.
Yeah, you know, I don't have problems with making exceptions to programs if it kind of meets the criteria and the need at all. Given some additional information that was provided to me, I do have some reservations. I've been going around to the small communities and visiting with their mayors and stuff, and finding out, you know, what have they been working on, where are they at right now, and what are they looking at future-wise. A number of them are already talking about other projects, whether they are ready to submit something today or just going to be, you know, 3 months from now, but their councils are already working on that. So I would have some reservations, particularly since there's no structural problems with the building. That's, for me, is where I have the concern at the time. I think what Jawan's doing is a great idea, but that is just my one concern I have right at the moment with the information that's been provided to me as of today.
It sounds like we probably are leaning in the same direction now. And
if I can make one more.
Correct me if I'm either of you, but I'm sensing that the board saying this may not be, particularly at this time, an appropriate exception to be made on our program.
If I can make a comment, even if you don't approve ours, that's thanks for hearing us out. I would have you consider looking to the future to possibly add Story City and Huxley as they are growing communities, and talking with John Haldeman at the as the city manager, city administrator there. He says we don't have a program that fits your size. Mm-hmm. There is no program. They just institute a program, but you have to do for their main street, for the downtown buildings that are not as visible as ours, mm-hmm. that maybe need of or in disrepair and need to add funds. There's a brewery that just came to Huxley that they asked for a couple hundred thousand to match on that. And so the city of Huxley worked with Dustin to make a program for that. And as we talk through this, he says, boy, this doesn't fit at all because you're asking for such a small amount. With only a $4,000 ask, it just doesn't go there. But he thought the community involvement would be good. So before you make your decision, I leave you with two comments. And the two comments would be, Laura said them both as we started, what better way to help the community, smaller communities, and very rare a business wants to come to a small community. this is our way to help them.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having that conversation with me before.
You bet.
And, yeah.